Morning, everybody. It's like a furnace in here. It's great. I love it. Before I pray, I just want to encourage you, if you would consider coming along to the New Wine Conference in Sligo. It's in July, and right at the end of the service, we'll play a wee video so you can see again what it's all about. But it's cheap rate ends, and I know you people like a bargain, so cheap rate ends by Monday night. So if you would like to consider it, speak to myself or Carlton or Basil or some of us who have been before, that'd be great. Let's just have a wee moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, in this day, as we begin this series, teach us to pray. We come to you and we say that we desperately want your presence now. We desperately want you to shine a light on your word now. And we desperately want you to speak into our lives now. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, I may drink a wee cup of coffee here while I'm speaking just because I've got a bit of a dodgy throat. You'll excuse me for that. Folks, we have been, I really hope you're going to be able to answer this question, but you might not. Balcony, even you, well, I want you to answer this question. We have been trying to tune your minds in to the idea that discipleship is a three-strand program, okay? In a sort of a part of the world that we live in where really being a Christian is just all about being a person that made a decision somewhere in the deep, dark of past. We want it to be more than that, and we believe the Bible teaches us that it's more than that. And we say there are three strands to becoming a disciple and developing in your discipleship. The first strand is to be... Oh dear. You're letting me down, folks. The bishop will not be impressed. All right? With? Well, Jesus is always the right answer. Okay? So that's a complete failure. With Jesus. So in your discipleship, are you becoming more at home with being in the presence of God? This morning, I wasn't really singing because my throat was killing me. But it was just great to sit there and hear you guys singing. But it's more than singing, of course, but singing's an important part of the with Jesus life. Do you just love to be in the presence of the Lord? Then, like Jesus, now I'm going to ask you, all right, like Jesus, next week I'm going to ask you this, with Jesus, being worshiping him, like Jesus, becoming more like him, okay, and finally doing the things that Jesus did. Oh, you're getting good now, okay. Isn't that so different than I made a decision when I was 10 when my granny pulled me to a mission and, you know, I went up to the front or whatever. Like, I love to worship him. I love to be made like him. And I love doing the stuff that he did. That's what changes the world. And so we have in the Bible, in the gospel story, these boys, okay? Some of them maybe as young as 13 when they were called off this beach where they were trying to fish and do their various tasks. And Jesus calls them onto a journey of learning how to do these things. In the midst of this journey, he teaches them how to pray, which is what we're going to look at tonight. But he teaches them how to be with him, like him, and do the things that he did. And then there comes a time right at the end of Jesus' earthly story, right before he's crucified, where he tells them that I'm going to now go to heaven. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be gone now. And it's going to be better for you that I leave. Which is an amazing suggestion for the fact that they've been taught how to be with, like, and do the things that he did. He's had them on an apprenticeship for 3 years, and he's saying, but it's going to really be so much better if I leave. And sure enough, he does leave. And that night when he's crucified, the disciples must have wondered, how on earth are we going to continue this journey of being with, like, and doing the things that he did? He's dead. And then on that Easter Sunday morning, he comes back, he's risen, and it's incredible. And they think, yes, we can do this again. They have even went back to fishing. So much have they given up on this apprenticeship. And they think, we can do this again. And Jesus spends 40 days with them, revealing himself, teaching them, showing them about the kingdom of God and what it looks like. 40 days teaching them to be with him, like him, and to do the things that he did. And then he takes them up a mountain and he ascends 40 days later. and he's gone again. And they think, how on earth do we be with him, like him, and do the things that he did now that he's went up to heaven and he's left us? Well, he tells them, wait, wait. And they have 10 days where they have no Jesus. And they think, how on earth do we be with him, like him, and do the things that he did? He's not here. But he's told them, you got to wait. And they wait. They wait in an upper room in Jerusalem. And on this 10th day, on this 50th day since he was resurrected, something crazy happens. You know, I was listening to a little interview, totally for non-Christian context, but where they talked about a little place, I think it was in Colorado, where there was 100-mile-an-hour wind came through their village. And apparently in this particular place, the family, they hid in the island in their kitchen because it was such a scary, crazy noise, this 100-mile-an-hour wind. They looked out and they could see the trees were bent right over. Well, that day when these guys gather, that morning actually where these guys gather, there's suddenly this incredible wind. They've never heard anything like it. And then what appears over them is like tongues of fire. I have no idea what that looks like. I sort of imagine the British gas symbol, okay, over their heads. And what Jesus gives them that day is what he promised them, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is his very presence. And here's why it's better in being with, like, and doing the things that Jesus did. This is why it's better. Because Jesus never moved more than 100 miles from his home. He was limited in terms of how he could travel. When he walked a mile, he was tired just like we were. It was a limited ministry that Jesus had, even though it was the most wonderful ministry in history. But why it was better is because suddenly living inside these apostles, men and women, 120, was now the spirit and presence of Jesus. That's what Pentecost is all about. Now, today is not Pentecost, in case anyone gets confused, but that's what Pentecost is all about. In our pursuit to be with, like, and do the things that Jesus did, it's better for us not to have Jesus beside us, but to have him inside us. And that's what we can experience today if we wish to experience it. See, Jesus said something fascinating to the disciples. See, I would have thought as soon as he was resurrected, 40 days of teaching, as soon as he was ascended, he would say, go rent out Wembley Stadium and have a mission. But he didn't, because he said, you need to wait until you're clothed. You need to wait until you're clothed. In other words, you're naked without the Holy Spirit. You're powerless without the Holy Spirit. You can't do this with, like, doing the things that Jesus did without the Holy Spirit. So you need to wait and receive him. See, Christian people are meant to be defined by the Holy Spirit entering into our lives, transforming us. We're meant to be defined by it. And the question that I want to ask this morning is, what are you defined by? What are you defined by? Now, I'm going to figure out if you're cool or not now, okay? Who here has watched the movie Black Panther? Okay, I'm going to take down my hand because I haven't watched it. Okay, Balcony, has anyone watched it? Okay, a few people. All right, very good. Well, it doesn't matter, and I have no idea what it's about. Okay, but I do know it's a Marvel film. Myself and Zara haven't watched any films since we had a baby because we fall asleep. Okay, but I'm sure it's very good. But the main star of the movie is a lady called Letitia Wright. Is that right? Yeah? Letitia Wright. Okay. And she's a young British girl. And if you look to the screen, hopefully we might need to switch a light off or two. Who knows how to switch off some lights? Who's going to do this? Oh, Mark Bailey. He's a Swiss Army knife. Look at that. Okay. Look up to the screen. And this is a prophetic moment from this morning television. Okay, go for it.
Tish, you thought about packing all of this in.
I mean, which is really hard to believe when you look that there is your break.
Yeah.
You look fantastic on screen there, but actually there was a stage in your life you thought, you know what, this is not for me.
Yeah, I was going through a lot, a very difficult time in my life, and I just needed to take a break from acting because I really idolized it. So I came off from it and I went on a journey to discover God and my relationship with God, and I became a Christian, and it really just gave me so much love and light in my within myself, and so much I felt secure, and I felt like I didn't need validation from anyone else or from the from getting a part. My happiness wasn't dependent on that. It was dependent on my relationship with God.
Because as an actress, you are judged.
Yes, you are.
All the time by producers. Yes, by social media.
And did that help that break? Have you come back to acting thinking, I love my work, I love my job, but it doesn't define me completely?
Exactly. And I'm centered in who I am, and I'm really grateful. I'm not perfect, especially in as a Christian, you're not perfect, you know, but you're walking every day and trying to just stay connected. And yeah, it's helped me a lot, so I'm really grateful.
Aye, so that's the main star of that movie. You know, one of the highest grossing movies in the history of Marvel movies. And she is saying that she went through a time when she was defined by her job, defined by the yeses and nos of movie producers. And she then retreated from that, discovered Jesus Christ, and is now not defined by it. But the incredible thing is, because she seeks first the kingdom of God, all the other things were added onto her because she sought him first. Absolutely incredible. And there's just three wee simple things that I want to flag up for us so that we can think about what we're defined by in our lives. The three simple things are God's clock, God's son, and God's perspective. God's clock, God's son, and God's perspective. So God's clock, first of all. These disciples were told they needed to wait or they were going to be naked without the Holy Spirit. You're not able to be with God, like God, do the things that Jesus did if you're not willing to wait. And this is really important because the church, we have become really poor. Even though we have grown in all these ministries, like we've got Christians Against Poverty and we're talking about Home for Good, and we've all these ministries, beautiful, fantastic ministries. We're starting, you know, seniors' lunches and all these sorts of things. But what we need to make sure is that we are working from a place of being clothed by the Holy Spirit. You know, and the church, we have become so brilliant at doing all of these ministries. But so many times, the one ministry that's empty is the prayer time. We've lost the ability to know how to wait. And we really want to encourage you to be part of what Carton was sharing about earlier at 5, little time of being taught how to pray. Jesus said, wait. And what I love about this story is it totally validates my decision to move this service to 9:30. You might have seen that, okay, but I will show you in this passage why I'm validated, okay? Because when I started talking about moving it to 9:30, some people believe that God could not move at such a horrible hour, all right? But what we see in this passage is, and I think it's fascinating, because I used to take a lot of youth weekends, and it doesn't matter where you go, what stream of church you take a youth weekend on, the night where God moves is just Saturday night, okay? He's never in the history of youth weekends moved on Sunday morning when they're all exhausted. Never. Saturday night. But what we see in this story is these young men and women, 120 people, are so impacted by this rushing wind and these tongues of fire, and they're speaking in these crazy gift of tongues that everybody can understand. They're so transformed by this. The people, their only frame of reference is they're drunk. That is the only frame of reference. They've got to be drunk. This is weird behavior. Nobody behaves like this. They've got to be drunk. Now, if you think about it, being drunk, right, not that any of you people would know this, all right, but being drunk removes inhibitions, doesn't it? It removes inhibitions. People often drink so that they sort of feel free to, you know, be good fun and be good cracker or be loud or Larry or whatever. You know, something about what the Holy Spirit does to these guys causes them to lose inhibitions. These 120 people who were previously afraid pour out of that room and they're just full of life and shouting and song and I don't know whatever. To the point that people believe they must be drunk. And Peter's answer is, we can't be drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Meaning the Holy Spirit fell before 9 o'clock. All right? It's here in the text. God can move before 9 o'clock. I'm not going to move it before 9 o'clock, by the way. We do have a half-eight communion if you'd like to come along. But God moves before 9 o'clock. And you know, I was thinking about 9 o'clock. And I was thinking about most of us are defined by our 9 o'clock. Most of us are defined by what we do. Hi, I'm Simon and I'm a minister, you know. Most of us are defined by what we do. Hi, I'm Julianne and I'm a nurse. Is that right? You're a nurse, aren't you? You know, most of us are defined by what we do. I'm a mum. I'm not, but you know. We're defined by what we do. These guys have a new definition. They're no longer fishermen. They're people that are with Jesus. They have a mission, a bigger mission than their micro mission. They have this big mission of sharing, as it says in the text, the mighty words of God. So they, at 9 o'clock, start the thing that they were born to do the things that Jesus did. And I love that. I know many people within church don't like our jobs. I know there's quite a number of us feel that way, just from chatting to you, praying with you, all the rest of it. Or you're not content with the way that your life is. And oftentimes what God doesn't necessarily want to do, he doesn't want to give you a more exciting job. He wants to give you a more exciting mission. He wants you to be a PhD, to be preaching, healing and delivering in his name. He said, I want to take you fishermen, I want you to make you fishers of men. I want to take you, Paul, tent maker, and I want you to be a tent maker for Jesus, pitching tents of his presence everywhere. He wants to sometimes breathe life into your job, breathe life into your role of being a grandparent, a mum, whatever you are. He wants to breathe life into that. The second thing about God's clock is really significant to me. Because have you ever heard a Christian say to you, I believe we're living in the last days? Have you ever heard that? Okay. Put up your hand if you've heard someone say, I believe we're living in the last days. Okay. Well, the next time a Christian says that, you go, no duh. Okay. Because literally, the category of the last days happened the moment Jesus ascended. Because it says in Acts 2, in the last days, which is what we're in right now. Now, we don't know if the last days last for a week. Well, we know they last for longer than a week. But we don't know if they last for 2,000 years, 4,000 years, 10,000 years. We just don't know. And the last days end when Jesus returns or calls us home. Okay? That's when the last days end. But here's what the time that you live in called the last days, here's what it's meant to look like according to Acts chapter 2. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Not just ministers. Not just men. Men and women. All flesh. Everyone. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Sons and daughters. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants. So even socioeconomic stuff doesn't matter here, because even servants are in on the act, and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And then there are some signs and wonders listed here. And it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the time that we live in, because this like rushing wind has come into our lives and into this idea of being a Christian. We can now be with, like, and do the things that he did, because we live in these last days when God's poured out his spirit on all flesh. That's what we're called into. That's the mission that we're to be involved in. And one of the greatest gifts of Pentecost is this, that, and this is going to be liberating for some people, that for thousands of years, people have received like these laws, these Ten Commandments, or these 613 rules, and they have tried desperately hard to keep these laws and rules. But what it says that will happen in the last days is if we receive the Holy Spirit, God will come and he'll write them on our heart. He'll write the laws, not on a bit of stone, but on our heart if we receive the Holy Spirit. And that's really good news, because what that means is you will want to, as you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you'll want to obey him. You'll want to serve him. So if you're a person struggling with addiction or forgiveness or whatever area you're struggling with, the beautiful thing is the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's not that it solves every little problem. But what it does is it'll write his law in your heart and you can begin to want to serve him. It's beautiful, liberating stuff. And if we miss it, we're mental, because it's such a gift and a beautiful gift for each and every one of us. If you're a person that can't see any vision or any hope for the world, receive the Holy Spirit, you'll dream dreams. You'll see visions. If you're a person struggling with addiction or whatever, or just, you know, anything, the Holy Spirit can come in and write the law on your hearts. Be defined by God's clock. Think about the waiting and think about the time in which we live. Secondly, think about being defined by God's Son. By God's Son. What do I mean by that? Well, what Peter does in this sermon that's going to result in 3,000 people being saved is he shows them that the very person they have crucified is the Messiah they have been waiting for. And he amps it up. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." He's saying Jesus Christ is the center of this whole thing. We need to be defined by Jesus Christ. I'm going to make fun of these boys the whole way through this year, but Barry and Ross are our church wardens, in case anyone doesn't realize. Now, Ross, don't take this personally, okay? But I was just thinking, look at Barry, everyone. Just look at him, okay? A balcony, you're just going to have to envision Arnold Schwarzenegger by two, all right? And Robin, okay? So we've got, okay? All right? And they're both Liverpool supporters, so it's okay, all right? But, you know, if I was walking around with Barry, I'd be afraid of nobody. Hey? Do you know what I'm saying? Now, here's what David says. And I love this, and I think it's really important. Now, just imagine Barry standing in front of me, right? And people just cowering in fear, all right? It says this. Here's what David did. Now, this festival they're having at Pentecost is all to celebrate Moses and David and the whole story of Israel. That's what they've gathered into Jerusalem for. And what Peter says is, this is what David even said to this guy you crucified. This is what David even said. He said, "I saw the Lord always before me, and because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you make me full of gladness with your presence." Now, that's all very wordy, but here's what it essentially means. What it essentially means is you worship, you revere David. And here's what you don't realize. The whole focus of David's life was that he could prophetically see something in the future where he could see, it says in verse 31, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. So even David, living thousands of years before, had some prophetic picture of Jesus Christ that would defeat death. And because David made him the focus and definition of his life, he set him at his right hand, this one that could defeat death, he could not be shaken. And here's the reality, folks. By the Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus comes and lives in you. And the Bible tells us that that presence is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And if you focus your heart and your mind on being filled with his presence, you can be unshakable. That's true. You can be unshakable. And if you're defined by the news or defined by what employers say to you, like Letitia, or you're defined by whether or not you have a job or whether or not you're pretty or whatever, or as big as Barry or whatever, you know, you'll be shakable. But if your heart is on Jesus Christ, who was risen from the dead and now has come to live within you, and you've received a deposit of that, but you can be filled with that, you can be unshakable. Are you defined by God's clock? We're living in the last days, Spirit poured out on all flesh. Are you defined by Jesus Christ, the one that defeated death, is risen? I love what Robert Murray McShane, he wrote McShane Bible Notes. If you're looking to read the Bible in a year, you can check out McShane online. But he's an old saint, didn't live for very long, but changed really a nation. But it says this: if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance doesn't matter. He is praying for me. Do you have the Lord set at your right hand? And because you can see this death-defeating Jesus, you cannot be shaken. Do you have him living inside you in a powerful way where you're filled by his presence every day and you are unshakable? Finally, and this is going to be so quick. How are we doing for time? Am I in trouble? I am in trouble. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, finally. God's clock. Last days, guys. Do you want the Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh? God's Son. He's amazing. Will you be defined by him, the death-defying Savior? And finally, God's perspective. There's the wee glasses at the side. What happens here, it's genius. It's a genius sermon. Much better than this sermon, because it's really thinking about what it's trying to set out to do. Because Peter, he amps it up. He said, do you realize who you killed? Do you realize that that was the one that made the universe? Do you realize that you killed him, that he tried to embrace you and you pinned him to a cross? Do you realize that? And it says in this passage that when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. Like, that is some moment, isn't it? Where it's revealed to you spiritually as somebody's speaking that I have crucified God. I have killed God. You know, I wonder what kind of response I'm going to get when I stand before his throne. Like, that is a scary moment, isn't it? When you realize that you have killed God. That he tried to embrace you and you rejected him. And it says that they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? This is a beautiful question for an evangelist to be asked. We're cut to the heart. What do we do? He's ramped it up and ramped it up and ramped it up to the point where they're asking this big question. How do I respond to this? What can I do in response to this? I now realize who he is. I can now see that life's defined by God's Son. What do I do? And what Peter says is, he says, just repent, be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, repent, I was reading this week, it was new to me. Re means to go back. And pent is like penthouse, go back to an elevated place. And essentially, repentance means to go back and see it as God sees it. Go back and see it as God sees it. Turn your mind around from viewing your 9 a.m. as just something that you've got to do to pay the bills, and start to see your life as a mission field for him, of being with him, like him, and doing the things that Jesus did. Go back to his perspective on life. Repent. Folks, yeah, let's stand together. There's a few more things I could say, but I think we're all right. Let's just think for a second Let's just think for a second. If we're in Christ, this has got to be the mission. With him, worship. You could now just wait on him and receive him. That's with him. Like him, that's sanctification is the word they use for that. But it's just every day just becoming more conformed to his image, like him, and then doing the things he did. That's mission. Preaching, healing, and delivering. Is that you? Is that you? And there's no like degrees of Christianity. There's not some people that are just called to like sit there, and there's other people that are called to do stuff. We're all called into this mission in our own way. Now the clock says now is the time, and there'll be many further times, but now is the time to just invite the Holy Spirit to fill us. And it's not separate from God's Son, because we're being filled by his very presence. And as the Spirit fills us, we begin to see things from his perspective. So let's just stand before him with our eyes closed. Let's just very biblically hold our hands out. And we just invite the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on our church. Lord, without your presence, we're naked. And we can do as many senior lunches, as many cap Sundays, we can do as many sermons, and services, and festivals, and all the rest of it as we wish. But it's only when you fall, and you equip, and you clothe, that we see 3,000 come to Jesus in one day. So Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in our church. Lord, would you stir up in our church a heart that is desperate for more of your presence, a heart that is desperate to be, Lord, dreamers of dreams and seers of visions. Would you stir that up in us, Lord? Would you make us desperately unhappy with just go to church, meet a few nice people, have a great coffee and go home? Would you make us people that are desperate to see people won, hearts and minds brought to Jesus? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And folks, let's just wait. And the worship team are going to come forward. But let's just keep our focused minds on Jesus. Let's just set the Lord always before us. Let's just bring in a conversation with the Lord. What are we defined by this morning? Are we defined by what we do? Are we defined by what others have said about us? Are we defined by an illness? What are we defined by? And into that thing that we're defined by, we invite the Holy Spirit to cause us to be defined by you. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And folks, just as we continue in this attitude of prayer and the band gently play, we just want to invite anyone who just wants more of him just to come forward. The prayer ministry team are going to be here. I'm going to be here with Carlton as well. And we would just love to pray for people that want more of the Lord and more of his presence in their lives. So let's be really hungry and really brave. There's no point in following up your mate or whatever, you know. Just if you want it, then come forward and receive some ministry just as we worship together in the last couple of songs. So Let's worship him.